I just read these famous words of Jesus. I've come from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And we could say that this is Jesus's mission statement. This is the reason he came into the world, so that all who look to him may have eternal life. And at the very heart of our Lord is his profound humility. And one of the things that I've been doing with the kids over these last days on Sunday as they were preparing for their first Holy Communion is I teach them to make the sign of the cross in this way, to think that Jesus, who is God, came from heaven all the way down to earth so that his love could be poured out on all the world. And that really is at the very heart of our faith, God in Christ coming all the way down to earth and his love can be poured out upon the whole world. But here's the issue. At the very heart of our problem are the seven deadly sins. And number one of the seven is pride. And at the very essence of the challenge that we always face is the idea that we want to have God-like power. Back in Genesis, as we well know, the serpent said to Adam and Eve that you can become like God. So why do you need God when you can become like him? It's worth noting that in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, that Michael is named. And do you know what the name Michael means? It's actually a question. Who is like God? And as Michael is named in Revelation chapter 12, we see his confrontation with the devil. And he is actually taunting the evil one and saying, "You think you're like God, but you're nothing like God. Who is like God? No one." But our problem, and this is very real in the 21st century, is we've come to think that our true freedom lies in being like God. And this week, we find this taking on a particular expression as we have this week for life. Do you know that since abortion was legalized, that worldwide over 1 billion babies have been aborted? And now in Canada, we have doctor-assisted suicide. We have all of these ways in which we think we are becoming a more sophisticated and a more compassionate people. Back in 1992, the Supreme Court of the United States, in a ruling called Casey versus Planned Parenthood, spoke of, quote, modern liberty this way. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of the meaning of the universe, and the mystery of human life. Let me read that one more time. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of the meaning of the universe, and the mystery of human life. That's the modern view of freedom. That we can define for ourselves the meaning of reality, the meaning of the universe. And there is such a passion that is accompanying this. It's like Saul, who in today's reading from Acts, went around getting the Christians and taking them to jail and persecuting them. And so we have to realize that within our world today, pride finds a particular correlation with our understanding of how we can abort babies and we can choose for ourselves when we are to die. But here's the problem with pride. It's boring. When we decide for ourselves godlike prerogatives, we have, in the words of St. Augustine, turned in curvatus in se. That's Augustine's definition of sin, its life turned in on itself. When we live pridefully, as I've said before in quoting a wonderful Swiss theologian by the name of Hans-Urs von Balthasar, when we choose to live pridefully, we live in what Balthasar calls the ego drama, whereas what God desires for us is to live in his theodrama. How wonderful it is when we're able to break out of the ego drama. how boring the ego drama is when compared with the theodrama. And in today's gospel, the theodrama is referred to as eternal life. Because here's the thing about learning to live in God. We recognize that we are, so to speak, like a piece in a huge jigsaw puzzle that has millions upon millions upon millions of pieces. And God's story of salvation is the building of this puzzle. But when we come to see that we're part of this amazing work of God, we find where our piece fits. And when we find where we fit in this much larger story, then we're beginning to truly live. Because we're not living to do our will, but to do the will of God. To find our place in the Father's picture. Bishop Barron, in a series of reflections that he gave on the seven deadly sins, said the problem with the ego drama is that when we try to live it, we're like people on a bus going through a beautiful countryside, but we've pulled the shades down and we're fighting with one another about who's going to have the front seat. And so what we are all called to, and this is so difficult for each and every one of us, is to recognize that the antidote for pride is humility. I love the Latin word humilitas, from which we get the word humility, and the etymology of this word has as its root the word humus, which means being of the ground, of the earth. To be humble is to choose to live closely to the earth. Those of you who know Dante's Divine Comedy know that those who are in purgatory are having to work their way up the seven-story mountain and reach the outskirts of Paradiso. And what's so interesting is that the antidote for those who are prideful in the Divine Comedy is that they have to wear these heavy rocks on their back that literally keep them close to the earth. May we learn evermore what St. Augustine wrote when he contrasted pride and humility this way. Quoting Augustine, "When a physician in the treatment of a disease cures certain outward symptoms, but not the cause that produces them, his cure is only temporary." What he's saying is you've got to get to dealing with the disease, not just the symptoms. And so Augustine goes on to write, "So long as the cause remains, the disease may return. That the cause then of all diseases, that is pride, might be eradicated, the Son of God humbled himself. Why are you proud, O man? The Son of God humbled himself for you. It might shame you, perhaps, to imitate a humble man, but imitate at least a humble God. And this is the proof of his humility." There's a battle going on for your soul. There is a battle going on for my soul. And as we know from Revelation chapter 12, the battle is one where the enemy of our soul has been cast down to earth, and he's fighting very hard because he knows his time is short. But we, as we pray the St. Michael prayer, be able to say, "St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle," because like you, we ask the question, a rhetorical question, who is like God? And we know what the answer is: no one. And so may we pray, "Jesus, help us with you to say, I don't want to do my will, but your will and the will of the Heavenly Father."